Physical growth does not happen automatically. You know that. Follow certain rules, grow. Abuse certain rules, intellectual growth doesn't happen automatically. We either cultivate our mind or it stagnates. Spiritual growth doesn't happen automatically. We can be believers for 25 plus years. If we've stopped growing in our relationship with the Lord after 5, we're not 25 years old in the Lord. We're 5 years old in the Lord repeated 20 times. So it's possible to stop growing intellectually. It's very possible to stop growing spiritually. We ignore the rules physically and intellectually. We understand the results. Somehow or another, we think that spiritual growth happens by osmosis. Coming to a church service most Sundays out of the year is supposed to be some kind of automatic spiritual growth. Well, doesn't happen that way. There are certain spiritual disciplines that we need to incorporate into our life on a regular, systematic basis. Now, you don't realize this, but I'm actually in a series of sermons. Just like pastors in the Gospel of John, I've been discussing with you when I've had the opportunity the disciplines that God can use to help us to grow spiritually. Number one is regular and systematic exposure to the Word of God. I need to have the Word of God come in. I've spoken on that in case you don't remember. You know, it's a long time ago. Another spiritual discipline, and the others you can flip in any order. They're kind of like 1, A, B, C, D, as long as we understand the Word of God is number one. And that is worship. And we talked about not just coming to church, but actually worshiping. The other is prayer, and we talked about your prayer confidence level. That needs to become a part of who we are. Number four is that God wants us to make an eternal impact in other people's lives by the way we relate to them, the way we serve them. And we want to look at it from a couple perspectives. Number one, God has equipped us to serve Him. It's not a question that there's nothing I can do. God has equipped us to serve Him. If you have your Bibles and want to follow along, turn to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew 25, starting with verse 14, is the very familiar, the parable of the talents. And we pretty much have the background for that, where verse 14 again is like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5, to another he gave 3, to another 1. And he wanted those people to use those talents that he gave them. Well, God has equipped everybody with the ability to do something. We can call them talents. We can call them skills. Some people are tremendous in the field of music. It's a talent. It's a talent that God has given them. Now, talents are for believers and non-believers. Non-Christians have talents in all these areas as well. Some people have a talent or an ability in the sports world. Some people have the ability to fix things. I mean, I know people, they look at something that's broke and they know how to fix it. I don't understand that. I look at something that's broke and I call a repairman. And they fix it. They just understand how this stuff, and it doesn't matter what it is. It's everything. You know, and it frustrates me like crazy. But people have that talent. They have that skill. They have that ability. I didn't get in line for that one. Some people have tremendous art ability. You take it for granted probably, but look around. Somebody did that. That's art. It's beautiful. Some people have the ability to create beauty in all the different forms of art or music. Now, to the Christian, God wants us to take those talents, those skill levels that He has given us, and turn them back to Him and say, Lord, with this ability, use it. Use it to bring glory and honor to you. Sometimes Christians in the sports world use their sports ability to point people to God and point people to the Lord. Some get mocked for it, and they continue to do it anyway. But no matter what our field of talent or skill level is, we should use it for the sense of pointing people to the God who gave it to us. Now, it's pretty serious, because look at verse 19 of this parable. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. Whoa. God has given me certain talents, but there's accountability involved with this. The master's coming back and he's going to ask me what I did with what he gave me. I can't just slough it off. Well, I can. And as you read through on the parable, the man who received 5 talents got affirmation and praise. The man who had 2 talents got affirmation and praise because he did something constructive with them. And then in verse 24, the man who had received 1 talent came and, Master, I knew you were a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid, and I went out and hid your talent in the ground. So here, this is what belongs to you. His master replied, You wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvested where I had not sown and gathered where I had not scattered seed. Well then, you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. Take the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10 talents. For everyone who has, it will be given, and he who have an abundance, whoever does not have, even what he has, will be taken away. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Regardless of what else this parable is teaching, it is teaching we are accountable to God for the talent and the skills that he has given us. We are accountable to God to use it to help people come to faith or to grow in their faith. Now, flip over to 1 Peter chapter 4, because to Christians, he's given us something else besides just talents. In 1 Peter 4, verse 10, each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. If anyone serves, he should do it with the strength that God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be glory and power forever and ever. First Peter talks about something called a spiritual gift. Now, this is just for Christians. A spiritual gift is a divine enablement that God gives a believer for the believer to use to build up the body of Christ. It's a divine ability, a special ability that God gives by His grace, as verse 10 says. Not because we merit it, not because we deserve it, not because we're better than the next guy. By God's grace, He knows how I fit into the body of Christ. He knows where my best place is so that I can serve in the body of Christ to help other people to grow. So He places me there. And He equips me with something called a spiritual gift. Each one of us who's a believer has a spiritual gift. You receive that gift at the time of your salvation. You might not become aware of it till much later in your Christian life. You might not even heard about them for years of your Christian life. But you've got one. It's sitting there. And you probably have some idea of what it might be. Some of you are exercising that gift without even knowing what you're doing, because we fall into what we are good at. You don't have to beg for the gift. You don't have to pray for what gift that I have and ask God for a special gift. You receive that gift the moment you accepted Christ. When a person comes to Christ, one theologian lists about 25 different things that happen automatically the moment they place their faith in Christ. Spiritually, 25 different things. One of them is you receive a spiritual gift. How do we get to that point where it says at salvation? Because verse 10 doesn't say you receive it at salvation. But Peter is writing to people who have been Christians all different times of their life. Some have been Christians 10 minutes. Some have been Christians 5 years. Some might be Christians 3 months. But they all have one thing in common. They all came to the cross. Same with us. Every one of us who's a Christian today came to the cross, accepted Christ as the payment for our sin, His resurrection, to provide us with forgiveness. Every one of us. From that moment on, our spiritual growth, our spiritual life, takes an individual path. From that moment on, we're all different. The only thing we have in common in our Christian life is we all started at the cross. So the only way Peter could write and say, each one of you has received a thing called gift, is if you received it the time that you became a believer. If you have to be certain mature to get a gift, then he would have to say, those of you that are mature enough have a gift. He doesn't say, he says, every one of you has a spiritual gift. That means if you're a believer here, you have a special way by God's grace in which to serve him for the purpose of building up the body of Christ. Now, you have one. If you don't think you have one, probably one of three things is true. Number one, you've never looked at what the Bible teaches about spiritual gifts, so therefore you don't know anything about this topic, and we can fix that through Bible study. Number two, you might not be a Christian. Therefore, you just have some talents, but you don't have a spiritual gift. You can fix that by helping you to come to faith in Jesus Christ. Number three, you might be a Christian who thinks so poorly of himself I'm no good. I'm dirt. I stink. I can't do anything. God can't use me any way, shape, or form. And I've heard all that. Well, your self-concept is so low that you need some understanding of who God says you are when you've come to faith in Christ. And you may need someone to help you to understand that. But if you're a believer, you have a gift. Now, verse 11 says there's two kinds of gifts. There's speaking gifts and there's serving gifts. Now, I know that 1 Corinthians 14:22 also says there's such a thing called sign gifts. And the four sign gifts are miracles and healings, tongues, and the interpretation of tongues. The sign gifts were apostolic gifts given to the apostles and the believers of that generation for a very special purpose. But they have died out. They don't exist anymore in our church life. Now you say, well, how do you know that biblically? Well, I can prove that to you biblically, but you don't want to spend that much time here this morning. So if you want to talk about it privately, I'd be glad to. But for today, there are speaking gifts and serving gifts. Now, Romans 12 lists some of the gifts. 1 Corinthians 12 lists some of the gifts. All of the spiritual gifts are equal. And that's where we have a problem. Because in the church today, we elevate speaking gifts over serving gifts. Not necessarily verbally, but, you know, the person who's teaching Sunday school is serving God more than the person who's going to visit somebody in the hospital. Not so. Not so. Different people have different specialties. Different people have different places in the body of Christ that God gave them by His grace to impact the lives of other believers, and they're all equal. Truth be known, in a local church, for every one speaking gift, you better have 5, 6, 7 people exercising serving gifts in order to make it work. If you're going to say, well, speaking gifts are better than serving, you should flip it. And you should say serving gifts are more dynamic into church life than speaking gifts, and that's not true either. There are speaking gifts and serving gifts, and one is not better than the other, no matter how we rank them. If we don't rank them equal, we rank them wrong. So God has given us talents to serve Him. God's given us spiritual gifts to serve Him. Well, what are the needs? Since we can serve people, what are the needs? Well, Christians obviously have needs. And the people with talents, and especially the people with gifts, are given those gifts in order to build up the body of Christ. Those gifts were given to help you and I to mature as other people use their gifts to minister to our needs. Worship. You can exercise many, many different spiritual gifts in worship. You can exercise the teaching gift through worship service. You can exercise a teaching gift through worship music. You can exercise the gift of encouragement through worship music, through speaking. Serving gifts and speaking gifts can be used in a variety of different ways. Sunday school teachers, people with the gift of encouragement, gift of speaking, people who visit, same thing, gift of encouragement. Did you ever notice that there are certain people in the church that anytime something has to be done behind the scenes, cleaning up or fixing something up, there's certain people are always there. And if you say to them, Why do you do that? They say, well, I just kind of like to help. If you were to say to them, you know, you probably have the spiritual gifts of helps, they would say, no, not me. I don't have a spiritual gift. I didn't even know there was a spiritual gift of help. Well, it's not an accident that those same people move in those directions. You know, do you ever notice that some people minister by visiting people who are sick or in the hospital, and other people say, what hospital? What hospital? I'll pray for you. You know, some people respond differently to situations. Why? Giftedness. Some people have a package of spiritual gifts that are drawn to people that are hurting. There's a spiritual gift of showing mercy. And they're drawn to people they're there for them. And there are other people who do Christian things for them, but it's not quite the same emotionally or anything else. You name it, any ministry in the church that you can think of, there's a spiritual gift that can be exercised to fulfill that specific need. God has set up the body of Christ so that we all have different gifts, and we can all use those gifts to plug in to certain things. There's a gift of administration. We had a man in our church, a good friend of ours. He went around the world, literally, with his company, teaching new people, new companies, how to use the software that he invented for their business application. And his company would send him around the world to do this. Well, he was teaching these people to use software. Well, make him a Sunday school teacher. Well, he could teach here in the secular world. He obviously can teach the Word of God. So he would start out with a Sunday school of 10, and in 6 weeks it would grow to 3. He couldn't teach the Bible. He had a spiritual gift, but it wasn't teaching. I know he could teach in this realm, but that's different than ministering in the body of Christ. Now, if you put him in charge of Sunday school and let him administer the whole Sunday school, your Sunday school would run as smooth as you've ever seen, because he had the spiritual gift of administration. So you plug him in to where he belongs, and he does more value for your Sunday school than if you had him teaching one class. Fortunately, he understood that. So we had a great administrator, for our Sunday school. In each of us, we have an area of specialty. And God wants us to use that area of specialty to build up the body of Christ. And like I said earlier, sometimes we use that area of specialty, but we don't call it a gift because we didn't know it was. And Bible study or education, can help with that. But for those who don't think you have a contribution to make in the church, wrong. God has equipped you, if you're a believer, with an ability to do something to help other Christians to grow. A creative God will find a way to use your gifts as you commit them to Him, as you dedicate them to Him. He will find a way to use your gifts for the betterment of the body of Christ. We have talents. We have gifts. Christians have needs. God wants the talents and the gifts to be used to minister to Christians. Well, non-Christians have needs too. Non-Christians need the Lord. In John 4:35, Jesus calls them sheep without a shepherd. I mean, it's what I was for first 16 years of my life. I was a sheep without a shepherd. God wants us to use what we have to be willing to talk with them about their need for a shepherd for their lives. He wants us to be willing to talk with them when we have the opportunity, to family, to friends, to workmates. He wants us to be willing to share the gospel. Because people really do need the Lord. If heaven is as real as we know it is, hell is as real as we know it is. And people are sheep without a shepherd. The whole purpose of the life, burial, resurrection of Christ, death of Christ, is to provide forgiveness of sin and to give us a relationship with God. Not just have our sins forgiven and wow, we're going to heaven, but to develop a relationship with God. Now, I don't know you spiritually. I know some of you spiritually. I know that you can be in church and never really have come to faith in Jesus Christ. You can be in church because that's what you're supposed to do. That's what you've been trained to do. That doesn't mean it's personal to you. It doesn't mean that there was a time when you placed your faith for the forgiveness of your sin in the death and resurrection of Christ. It's completely different than joining a church. It has nothing to do with joining a church. Joining a church doesn't develop and start a relationship with God. Joining a church starts church membership. It's important. It's not going to forgive sin. Only through personally accepting Jesus' death and resurrection for the forgiveness of our sin can our sins be forgiven. And people need the Lord. They are sheep without a shepherd. Scripture calls us who are believers light of the world. He calls us fragrant aromas. Paul calls us living letters, known and read by all men. And we need to let non-Christians hear the music of our lives. We need to get involved in their world through meals, visiting. When the church people visit someone in their home, non-Christians watch that. They see that. When flowers from the church show up at somebody's house, their neighbors see that. It's a non-verbal witness to the love of God. When you go over to a neighbor's house and you help them out with something, you're being light. You're being salt. You're being a fragrant aroma. You're being a living letter. You're reaching out to the needs in somebody else's life. Now, when you have the opportunity, because you've done that, then you talk about why you're doing that. And you're doing that because you love them and you want to see them come to Christ too. So we're doing it in order to earn the platform to share our faith. Now, I know some people who say, well, I'm not good at talking. I just can't. Now, I've noticed that you get that person talking about their hobby, whew, you better be interested in their hobby because you're going to hear an awful lot. You get them talking about their grandchild, whoa, you know? It isn't that they can't talk. It's just they're embarrassed to talk about Jesus for whatever reason, and there's multitude of reasons why that's true. But when it comes to our witness to non-Christians, we need to let them hear the music of our life. But then we need to be willing to put words to the music so the music makes sense to them. If we don't put words to the music and we just do a lot of great things for our neighbor and do a lot of really good things for them and they think we're really neat people and a nice guy, and they die, they go to hell knowing they had a really nice guy as their next door neighbor. It's not what we want. We want to be a really nice guy because of our relationship with Christ for the opportunity to put the words of the gospel with the music of our life. Because people do have needs. And it's not either or, it's both and. Live as a living letter in front of people, but then be willing to put the music that goes with the words. God wants us to make an eternal impact into the lives of other people. And a willingness to serve in that way, a willingness to make that impact, is a spiritual discipline that has to become a part of our life. It has to become a part of who we are. Now, most of us are familiar with Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that we present our bodies as a living sacrifice. And somehow or another, we know that verse so much that it's just routine. Well, listen to the same concept in 2 Corinthians 5. Verses 18 through 20. As soon as I can find 18. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore ambassadors for Christ, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. I need to take these talents that I have. I need to take these spiritual gifts that I have, and I need to say, Lord, I'm your person. This is who I am. This is how you've made me. This is who you made me to be. But I want to be your person. I want you to use these talents and these gifts for the development and maturity of my fellow believers, and to reach out to people who are lost. Now, in the average church, 15% of the work, 15% of the people do 85% of the work. Now, God never intended that balance to exist. God intends everybody to find their niche. Not necessarily speaking, maybe serving, but to find their niche in ministering in the body of Christ. But it comes down to presenting myself to God as a believer to allow him to use me to do that. Some might say, well, I'd be willing to share my faith, but I don't know how. And I get nervous, and I can't, you know. Well, you can get help. You want it? Ask for it. I mean, we've all been through that. We've all gotten help. Everybody can. Some would say, well, I don't know how to serve. I don't know who to serve or what to do. Ask. I think we can come up with some ideas. I think we can help, you know, in that way. There are sometimes in churches I've been involved with, the older people in the church say, well, Sonny, I've paid my dues. I taught Sunday school for 30 years. I'm not going to teach anymore. I know I could, but I paid my penance. Let that young whippersnapper, let him do it. None of you have ever said that. I realize that. But these other churches, you know, up out west, you know, the out west churches, they sometimes say that. What I've noticed here is that's not true. There's an incredible number of, can I use the word senior since I are one? Seniors who serve in dynamic ways in the body of Christ here. I marvel at the kind of service that I see taking place. I go visit some people that are homebound, and all they do is talk about the ladies and the men of the church who come to visit them and bring the bulletin. They can't thank you enough for the ministry that you have to them. When you show up and you bring a video or, I mean, a CD of the service, your visit probably has as much value in their life as listening to my sermon, believe me. I hear them talking to me all the time. And there's a lot of other service that goes on with the older people here that goes behind the scenes. So I don't think that's true here. I don't think it's 100% here, and I think God wants all of us to be involved. But I trust that those of you who are reaching out and who are serving in speaking gifts or in serving gifts, I trust that God is enriching your life, that you are making an internal impact in somebody else's life. You're not just visiting somebody. That God is using you and enriching your life and using you to enrich their life, to impact their life. Everybody has a place to serve. Everybody's been equipped with a place to serve. There are people whose God brought into your world that need to hear the gospel. If we don't know how to share, then ask and let's talk about it. Because God will equip us to do what He wants us to do. And sometimes it just really basically comes down to what level of commitment do I have. It really comes down to, do I see myself as an ambassador for Christ, as though God were beseeching other people through us to be reconciled to God? Or as Romans 12 says, that I present my body to God and say, God, use me to impact people for the kingdom's sake, both in the body of Christ and in the world that you've placed me in. One of the ways in which we grow is this discipline number 4, being willing to reach out to other people and ask God to use you to make an eternal impact in their lives. Let's pray together.